Hey, believer, welcome to From Head to Heart. Do you know in your head God loves you, but struggle to feel it in your heart? Have you ever been let down by people so you believe God will let you down too? Do you ever feel like you have to choose between God or your feelings? I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I believed so many lies about my worth and identity in Christ. I wondered if I would ever be able to discern God's voice over my voice. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. Now is your time to finally know and understand God's love for you, that you can trust God and hear from God. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. Today is the first day you begin to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Hey friend, I am so pumped for you today with this interview with Tony. Our ministries are so much alike in the fact that we really want you to find hope in the hurt. And we want you to be able to hold both your pain, but also be able to welcome the presence of God into what you're going through without feeling like you have to choose. And for me, that's super important because I feel like when we start to isolate one, we start to ignore the other. And so it's okay to have joy and grief at the same time. It's okay to laugh and to cry. But for many of us, I know it's even hard to get to that place to begin to feel and to begin to process that pain and knowing where to start because it just feels unbearable. And so in this interview with Tony, who is a hope coach, she's the author of Brave Enough to be Broken, and she is the founder of Broken Crayons Still Color, an international women's ministry that helps women process their brokenness and reclaim hope. So she is a perfect guest for the podcast. And before you go, I want to make sure that one, you pick up her book, sign up for her email list, and two, pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings as well. It'll be a great accompaniment to the Brave Enough to be Broken, because in Face Off With Your Feelings, we go to the root and we go to God with what we feel, but we also get this understanding of how to welcome the presence of God in the midst of our pain. And so pick up both books while you're there, Face Off With Your Feelings and Brave Enough to be Broken. And I am so excited for you to listen to this interview. So let's go ahead and get to it. Tony, I am beyond just excited that you're here with me. Your ministry is definitely something that speaks to my heart. Everybody in my audience, I know, that is listening to the podcast right now are going to be so blessed. So, I mean, let's just go right into heavy hitters. My audience knows I love to just go deep. And so why don't you start us off with, you know, you welcome pain. You welcome the situations and the reality of what happened, but you also help us to not live in the reality. And I think so many women, they separate the two. They feel like they have to constantly choose between the reality and the goodness of God versus both of them. So how would you basically help women start to welcome the pain without it being dismissed or hidden, kind of that kind? How do we be kind? How do we be gentle to the pain?
Yeah, that's really good. We were writing a women's course. We have a course called the Hopeful Woman Course, and we help women essentially heal. Like, we're just guides that like point them to resources to help them heal. And Jenna Carver, one of our writers, was like, you know, I just think what we're trying to tell people is that hurt and hope can coexist. And we were like, chills. That's it. That's our motto. That's what we're trying to get people to understand, that we can literally hold both, that we don't have to. I almost want to cry. Gosh, thinking of it. Am I emotional? Yeah. Am I okay? Okay, here we go.
You know, cry, please cry.
I'm emotional. I'm overwhelmed because I haven't even said it in so long, just like that. But I think what we're trying to do is get people to hold both. And for far too long, we have made people hold one at a time. We've said, if you're going to be hurt, like you got to be hurt. Like you can't even crack a smile. Like it could get weird, you know? And if you're going to be hope-filled, like don't you dare let fear in. And it's just dumb, like to think that we are just these monolithic creatures that only feels one emotion at one time. And I mean, we've all been in the movies where we've like cried and laughed and snot is everywhere. And we're also hollering, you know? And I just think embracing that we are in the complex middle of life helps us to expect and to be prepared to carry both. I also think the other thing that I've been telling women is really don't do pain alone. Dr. Kurt Thompson says that it is not the grief that takes us out. It's thinking that we'll have to grieve alone that does, that we'll be isolated, that there won't be any hope for us, that we'll just be stuck in a valley place. But when we bring people with us in the valley places, which is, you know, vulnerability, transparency, all the things, then sometimes we can borrow their strength, right? We can borrow it when we don't have anything left, and it gives us even more hope. And so those are the things that I think, you know, we're going for. We're going for being able to hold both. We're going to be able to invite people in so that we don't have to be alone in it. And yeah, those are two things that I think really helps.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And how would you guide women though? I know scripture talks a lot about clothing ourselves with humility and kindness and meekness, but we don't often do that toward ourselves because we believe it's self-glorifying. And I just think that why would the Lord only want us to be kind to others if we're also an image bearer of Christ? And so how do you help women actually be kind to themselves in the midst of pain or when somebody has hurt them or even when we hurt other people?
Yeah. Okay. I have two answers. One spiritual, kind of maybe kind of deep. I don't know. You can label it yourself. The other one's just like wild. So I'll go deep first, just so we can have some foundation here. Here's what we know. Everything flows out of our heart. Everything. And so if we aren't doing our own work on our heart, we're going to be looking ratchet out here. Okay. Maybe that wasn't deep. Okay. But God wants us to tend to our hearts because he wants us to have healthy hearts. He wants us to be healthy people because out of the heart, everything overflows from it. And so, yeah, God wants us to do some self-reassurance, to do some self-work, to go into the counseling's office, to make sure that we're focused on the fact that God is our source, but also to tap into resources that he's provided us. The second thing I would say is you take you with you. This is one of the things that I realized after divorce and trauma and all the things, and then remarriage and trying to parent my daughter from a healthy place. You take you with you. Your painful situations, the trauma that you've been through, the abuse, the, you know, whatever, the self-worth that you've battled with, it is going to leak if unchecked and unhealed. Part of the reason, maybe about 75% of the reason why I bring my behind to a counseling office all the time, okay, is because one, I know I'm crazy, okay? I'm just a wild girl. It's just who it is, okay? But also I know that I've been through a lot. And I know that our unhealth doesn't isolate itself. If I'm an unhealthy wife, then I'm an unhealthy daughter and mom and friend. It is who I am. And so if we really want to be more like Jesus, we would work on ourselves so that we can show up as the most whole version of ourselves and stop leaking all over our relationships.
No, that's good. I think something I like to say is that everything that's happened to us has happened to all of us, like all of us.
Oh, body keeps the score, baby.
Yeah. And so oftentimes when we're like, I'm just going to diet and restrict my food. Well, I'm like, you're also going to affect your mental state, your hormones. So you're not just restricting food. And I think that can go into our pain where we ignore one or the other. And I think that often when we ignore the reality that God can be in our pain, we actually start to grow distant from God because we actually put in the separation of thinking that what we did or what had happened, God can't love us or, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, so we want God to be small. That's good. I just love it. I'm in. Go ahead. Okay. I'm so sorry.
No, I think the next question really comes then too, is we're starting to welcome the pain. So I think a lot of times women probably come to you same way they come to me is, I have never felt before. So when I actually begin to feel, what the heck do I do with it? And how do I not let it run crazy or run my life?
Here's what I really love about this question. This was me. We weren't allowed to feel. Feelings were excuses. I mean, I remember vividly my dad saying, no, like you're making up excuses out here. Like you need to calm down and go sit down and et cetera, et cetera. And so I remember when I got with my now husband, Sam, and he was so articulate when it came to emotions. It was so weird. I was like, what's happening here? He's like, yeah, that really made me feel dishonored. That really, and I was like, what? Because I wasn't used to it. I wasn't used to a healthy relationship, first of all, but I also wasn't used to emotions and processing through it. And I remember the day I told my counselor, I was just like, I just don't know what these feelings are to even name them. And we know from experience that in order to heal from it, we have to name it. And so she gave me this dang emotion wheel, right? Like the little colorful one that was like, these are surface level emotions, sad, mad, angry, but underneath those are other things. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And it honestly is a process of humility and admitting that, like, I'm not good at this. Like, I just kind of suck at like the whole emotional arena. And maybe it's not my own fault, but maybe I just wasn't raised in a household. My daughter, I had a little boy after my 8-year-old daughter. And we asked her the first week how she felt like about the baby and all the things. And she was like, I'm jealous. And we were like, okay, girl, thank you, sis. Thank you for naming it. What was beautiful out of that, though, is we didn't shut her down. We didn't make her feel like it was an excuse, like it was a weakness. We said, oh man, I'm so sorry. I get that. You probably feel a little jealous because we're showing a lot of attention to the baby. And what are some things that you think we can do for you to make you feel a little bit more, you know, comforted and safe and soothed? And she goes, I think I just need more hugs. And we were able to meet that need. If we weren't practicing naming our emotions, then we can't pass that down to our kids. And for those of us with kids, like, we really just want them to be better than us. And so I'm like, let's do this emotional wheel, my girl, early on. So, yeah.
No, that's real. Oh, that's such a great example. And I think too, it just creates safety for your daughter so yep. that in, yeah, that might be something so small, but then when she gets older, when if she's bullied or if this yep. problem comes up with the boy or whatever, right. she's going to be, I'm going to go to my mom and dad first because I know yeah. they're going to listen and point me to Christ. And I think that's the biggest thing is we want to get stuck in our emotions and then we have them all, but then we don't surrender them over mm-hmm. to Christ. And then
yep.
we don't process through them with him and all that. And we start to depend on human effort. I think that's the biggest thing that I want to clear up is we think that healing comes from the human effort of I'm going to eat, I'm going to work out, I'm going to read my Bible, which is all human effort, but also good.
Yes.
But it's the Holy Spirit that brings the transformation. And 100%. So can you just speak about that we can do all of these things, but still have pain if we're not allowing the Lord to transform us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what I said. We have to be okay with the fact that these are all resources, but we have to have a source. Our source is God. Our source is the healing power. I mean, first of all, I would definitely want to tap into the source that raised a man from the dead. I mean, that's what I want. Okay. Some resurrecting power out here. That's what I need. Okay. In my crazy little life. Yeah. But also I think I went through a lot of counseling. I mean, gosh, years and years of counseling. For 2 years, I went every week, every single week, and my sweet husband paid for it all because I was so broke, even when we were dating. And I remember I got to a point where I was just like, I'm naming all these emotions. I'm like, yes, got it. But there's just still something blocking me. Like I still am reacting poorly to situations with my husband and my dad. I'm still being triggered in ways. And I just, what is going on? And I realized that my emotional life had gotten healthy. My mental life had gotten pretty healthy, but my spiritual life did not. I was still a fan of God, not a follower. And he wanted me to follow him because he was the one that wanted to lead the way through painful valleys of healing and restoration and redemption. But I was thinking that, no, I got it. Like I got it. Go to counseling, do my homework from counseling. Like I'm good to go. And I ended up signing up for a spiritual encounter for just a week. And it radically changed me. I started to hear the voice of God. I started to feel impressions from him on my heart. And I started to clear up the deepest lie of them all that I'd always believed, which is I'm unprotected. I'm unsafe. How could a God or a person or, you know, a parent let the things that happened to me when I was a child happen to me, sexual abuse and manipulation and drugs and all these different things. And it's when I met with God intentionally, and he started to renounce the lie that I'm unprotected and clear up the fact that he had been there protecting me. And some of those drunk college nights could have been a whole lot worse if his provision and honestly, his mercy wasn't available. That unlocked real healing because I tapped into the source.
Mm-hmm. And you got to know the character of God, because there's still evil and people still have a free will, and God is kind and out of his love and mercy and grace gave us that free will. And so people are going to do evil, which is the hardest thing for us to even comprehend in those situations. And I think for me personally, when I carry my anger and my resentment, it's all because I want to do the justice myself. Right. If I'm holding it or doing it or saying it, then I am somehow trying to make it right or punish them. And let me just tell you, I have felt it in my body. I have felt it in my relationships. And so for me, it was the most freeing piece. And I'd love to know your most freeing piece was knowing that God really does, that he is a God of justice and that I can hand over the debt to him. That is the hurt that was done or the pain that was caused or what was done, knowing that he will bring justice and perfect that which concerns me. And so what was one of the biggest pieces in your journey that you can remember where you just knew that you knew that you had to let go?
I think when I recognized that my redemption was more important than my resentment, I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah,
I have spent so much energy, angry, bitter at the people that have done the things in my life. And all the while, if I would have taken 30% of that energy and refocused it to my own redemption, my own restoration, how much more free I would actually be. Yeah. That was my moment of freedom, where I realized that God is quite literally fighting my battles. I don't have to be freaking superwoman and resolve everything in the world and everything in my situation and everything in my past. It was the moment I said, God got that, and I have this. Yeah. I have to be more concerned with my redemption than the resentment that I had for what happened to me.
Yeah.
And that freed me. It really did.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the expectations that we think we can control on other people, right? Like I have these expectations over you and I'm going to try to control them in you. And then we get upset when we can't control those expectations. And so they're just uncontrollable and unenforceable. That's a word. Expectations that we cannot enforce our expectations on other people. Okay. And so as we kind of come to a close, I think that what would you, or what do you do to help women continue to show up without shutting down?
Oh, you know, I'm gonna be real for a second. I've shut down a few times on the healing journey. I remember one distinct moment. I was going through my second round of trauma treatment, and it was specifically for my mom. And some of the things that had happened, she was an amazing mom. She was very sick growing up. And it was so hard to heal from it because it wasn't her fault, right? Like, but I remember sitting down in my second session of EMDR of trauma treatment, and I'm processing through really becoming the parent for my mom, having to take care of her. And I'm just, so angry. I'm angry that the awe and the wonder of my childhood has just been obliterated by now having to care for someone that I love, but dang it, I'm just so angry. And I told my counselor, I was like, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to hold this. I have to show up for my husband, for my daughter, for my ministry. And I'm not ready to hold this right now. And she's like, that's okay. She was like, this is bringing you out of your window of tolerance, and we want to keep you in your window of tolerance. But Tony, make no mistake, you're taking a detour. You're not getting off of the journey, the healing journey. Okay. Yeah. You don't want to talk about this part right now. Yeah. Great. But always know that it will be a riff in your story until you revisit it. Now we can go talk about some other things. Yeah. We can go heal some other things. We're still on this
healing. It's still going to be talking to you, even if you ain't talking to it.
Correct. But this is going to be a riff in your story. And so I would encourage women to take the time that they need to shut down in healthy ways. That may mean I can't talk about this today, I'm going to give myself kindness for 2 days and we're going to come back. I'm going to give myself kindness for a month and we're going to come back. I'm going to invite someone into this space where I am weak, where I'm completely shutting down. And instead of completely shutting down in an unhealthy way, I'm going to rechannel this energy, this fear, really, like this actual fear, and I'm going to share it with someone. I think that keeps us from completely shutting down, but then also being really kind to ourselves and saying, like, we are only human. We are not these superhumans. We're not the angels who are just so freaking awesome. And I'm like praying every day that God would show me an angel. Anyway, we aren't God. And it's okay that we have moments. It's okay that we are like David in the Psalms, who's soaking his bed with tears and flooding his couch, you know, like it's okay to pause and know that this is not the end of your healing journey and come back to it so we can do this work and be the most whole versions of ourselves.
Yeah. I know in like the Psalms, he's like, how long, Lord? But even at the end,
Lord, he's like pleading.
I think it's always the hope at the end of the Psalms. Oh, there's always a but. There's always a but. But God, this, you know, it's your mercy. Yep. It's your grace. You're my refuge. You're my shelter.
100%.
And I think that is where we hold both. And that's a perfect example of us holding both is here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm experiencing. Yep. But I also know, God, that you are still good, even when it doesn't feel good.
So
how would you welcome women to work with you or to find you or to connect with you?
Man. So it's Tony J. Collier on all the things. Okay. TonyJCollier. And if I'm honest, man, I'm a pretty wild character on Instagram, but the depth of my content is on my email list. I don't know. There's just something about sitting down and typing out meaningful emails, helping people find healing, helping them find hope. And there's like a whole other thing where I'm like taking pictures of my son's feet because I'm obsessed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh, your little toes. That's Instagram. It's like this, I don't know, for show thing. But if you go to tonyjcollier.com and you sign up for the email list, just know like there's no fluff there. There's just honesty, rawness. It's all my best stuff. It's me sharing what I've learned in counseling even. Like, it's depth. And so that's kind of the way I think all the other stuff is. I mean, you'll find the book, Brave Enough to be Broken. You'll find all the things, but I think that the depth of who I am comes out of my email list.
Go to her email list. I'll make sure to include that below. But thank you, Tony, so much just for your heart and your wisdom and your ministry and everything that you do.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful.
How free would you feel if your feelings didn't get the final say in your life, but God's word did? Many of us allow our feelings to be the engine in our lives instead of the caboose. We are run by our feelings when we run away from them. But as I teach in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, we no longer have to run and hide from our feelings. Our feelings can lead us into a deeper relationship with God. Whether you feel too busy to slow down, believe you are not worth the time, the effort, or the fight, you feel so overwhelmed with where to start, or have no idea how to take your thoughts captive, question your thoughts, or renew your mind, my book, Face Off With Your Feeling, helps you create space step by step to heal the tender places of your soul. In my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I teach you how worthy you are of love and healing because of our good Father in heaven. I write from my own journey and I share simple, tangible action steps for you to take as you work through the process of healing, including changing the way you think about God to change the way you live with God, creating the space you need to find healing, discovering how to get the word of God from your head into your heart, experience and love of God through relationship and not works, and finally, finding freedom from shame about what you feel so that you can heal. So if you are ready for your feelings to not be the engine in your life that runs you, but rather the caboose, pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, by heading to jessicahoddle.com/shop today.